As a kid, when you got hurt, were you a tough little kid, or were you somebody who needed a little bit of attention when you got hurt? Adam, were you a tough little kid, or did you need a little?
No, I wasn't tough at all. I needed attention.
Okay. Okay. Not remotely tough. Okay. What's it? Anybody else? Were you a tough little kid, boy or girl, or? Hey, Eric. Okay. In fact, if we could lower the screen, I've got that video. Oh, man, wouldn't that be cool? Wouldn't that be great? What an intro. How many tough little kids do we have here? Some tough little kids? Okay, my son John, he was a tough little guy. John has like this incredible tolerance for pain. And it's just amazing. Nothing ever fazed him. Remember, Katie was sick a couple of days, you know, and missed school and goes, oh, I've got a little bit of a sore throat. Oh, yeah, you know, the old, I've got a sore throat too. Maybe I need to stay home. So, oh, yeah, sure, you've got a sore throat. So Ellen took him to the doctor with Katie, and the doctor came out and said, well, your daughter's, you know, she's pretty good, but your son has some boils on his tonsils. It's like, oh, just a slight sore throat. He was a tough little guy. Just didn't bother him. Some of us needed a little bit. You were a tough little girl, Shirley, is that right? So you had no choice. There were six of you. Whoa. Whoa. Okay. Boy, that's amazing. I'm kind of like, I needed mommy to kiss and make it better. I was one of those little guys. Go ahead, Deanne, sorry. Two coaches, she said. Two coaches for parents. So it was suck it up, you know. Didn't matter what they needed. Yeah, that's the way. That's the way, Stan. Yeah. What do you mean your finger's hanging on by a thread? Come on, wrap it up. Did any of you ever have that, you know, where like mom, it's just weird, the whole thing about mom, you know, doing something and it feeling better, just kind of amazing. We grow up and we have things happen in our life that as close as we might be to our moms, they can't kiss it and make it go away. Before we get out of this world, assuming we live any length of time at all, we face all kinds of stuff. We just face such a wide range of problems. We face accidents and pain and traumatic events and illness. And I think of people I've known through the years who just dealt with chronic pain, just almost a lifetime of not being able to get over some kind of injury or some situation. We have financial difficulties. We have problems within our family. Sometimes our closest relationships are strained or even broken. Some of us have been betrayed, or we've been betrayers, and we've had, you know, we've had all sorts of consequences in our life because of sin, and of course, eventually we all face, I suppose, in many ways the most difficult thing, just the loss of those that we love, and that just can't, you know, be kissed and taken away in such an easy way. We all have needs for comfort. We all have needs for people in our life who give us encouragement and comfort and strength and share themselves with us and help carry that burden and that load. It is a vital human need because no one is exempt from those kinds of problems. Every one of us faces them. And one of the great things that we've all found in the church, and we thank God for it, is that He's created a fellowship in which that kind of comfort and encouragement is a part of our life. And it's there. If we're a part of the body, if we've really bought into the body, and our lives are linked with others in the body of Christ, we have experienced that kind of comfort. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 7, if you turn over there, the Apostle Paul, at the beginning of this letter to the church at Corinth, has some things to say about comfort, and I think of almost anything written in the Bible about comfort. The first two or three verses we're about to read are just among my favorites. Let's read what Paul has to say and then talk a little bit about the way comfort works in our relationships. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. For just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows. If we are distressed, it's for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort. In this brief paragraph, Paul uses the word comfort 10 times, 6 times as a noun, 4 times as a verb, and it just keeps flowing back over in his thoughts here, because he's speaking about something that we all so desperately need and that we do experience in Christ. And according to Paul, just in that opening line or two, where does all comfort originate? Here's the real easy answer that everybody can answer. Where does all comfort originate? God. It all comes from God, the God of all comfort. And in the passage, it says, the God of all comfort, who can bless us with all comfort in all troubles. And he says that twice, all troubles or any trouble. He uses the word all 3 times to basically say God can give you all the comfort you need in any situation you will ever face in life. That's quite a promise and quite a blessing that we have in Christ. Paul's saying there are no set of circumstances beyond the reach of God's comfort and love and care for your life. That God's comfort is going to be available to you and to me, because God is the God of all comfort. And as you look at those first couple of verses, verses 3 and 4, how is it that you and I are able to comfort one another? How do we have the capacity to comfort one another? Absolutely, because God has comforted us. We have needed comfort, God's comforted us, and therefore we have the ability to comfort others. And if you just kind of take that thought just a little bit further, just let's develop it a little bit more in that passage. What's the relationship between one's own suffering and their ability to be a source of comfort to other people? What's the relationship between one's own suffering and then their ability to be a channel of comfort and blessing to other people who are in need? Go ahead. Sure, the ability to empathize. Absolutely. Anyone else have a thought on that? The relationship between our own suffering, our own problems, and our ability to be a source of comfort. And certainly it starts with that ability to empathize and to feel for people who are hurting. Marilyn? That's a great point. It works both ways, Marilyn says. If you've received comfort from someone, then you've had that whole process modeled, and you're able to carry it out and model it for others. If you haven't received comfort at a particular crucial time in your life, it's a reminder. It makes you more sensitive to people who have needs for comfort and encouragement, so that you can be there to be a blessing to them. And Dennis, go ahead. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, being able to find comfort from someone that you know has been through similar circumstances or been in a similar place is that goes a long way, and really knowing that someone can connect with you and can understand in their own frame of reference. Yours is different. I mean, everyone's is personal, but from their own frame of reference, to have an understanding for that. In this text, if we were to go on and read verses 8 through 11, Paul talks about a problem that he's just gotten over in the province of Asia. He's undergone intense persecution. There's been a lot of pressure. There's just been a lot of trouble that he's faced. And he talks about that whole situation in his own life in verses 8 through 11 and how God, through all of that, has provided for him and has comforted him and given him everything that he's been in need of. And therefore, he's at a point now where he is able to speak words of comfort and be an encouragement to the church at Corinth. So he talks about this kind of as a chain reaction. Take a look at verse 5. For just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows. Paul says as Christians, part of the suffering we may undergo as Christians is the suffering that overflows from Christ. That there may be sufferings, the kind that he's talking about in verse 8 through 11, that comes into our lives because we're Christians. There's just the general suffering of living on this earth, but there's the specific suffering of persecution or ridicule or the kind of pressure that was brought against the Apostle Paul and many people in the early church. And Paul says, you know, that these troubles of Jesus, the sufferings of Jesus, part of sharing in the life of Christ is those sufferings overflow into your life. But he says, as they do, the comfort of Christ overflows in your life. And what Paul takes notice of is that the comfort that overflows is always greater than the suffering. So that as we're comforted, there is a surplus. There's a surplus of comfort. There's a surplus of the blessings of God, which then enables us to become channels of comfort to other people who are in need, so that we can be a source of blessing to them. And we see this dynamic at work in our own lives and in the church. When were you comforted by someone in a time of need? Don't necessarily feel, I mean, won't ask you for any more than what you want to say. It may just be the person and a circumstance, but can someone just share a time in your life when someone provided comfort to you in your life, when you were in need of comfort? Carrie. Okay. Carrie mentioned that just recently she was really having a difficult time and kind of putting on a tough exterior so people couldn't see, but that Tanya saw that and reached out to her and called her and as a friend was really a source of comfort to her in that moment. And, you know, it's just, it's wonderful to have that kind of relationship with people who step in and who are part of our lives and people who are willing to get close to us in some of the most difficult moments of our life. Because the greater the moment of suffering and pain, the more difficult it is sometimes for people to even come close because we oftentimes feel like we're not really sure what to do or what to say or how to go about that. But to be there in such moments is such a source of comfort. Anybody else before I go on? Don't want to leave anybody out. All right. Gene mentions that his wife, Andrea, is a comfort to him. What a blessing. What a blessing to have comfort that nearby, to have someone that close in your life who is a constant source of comfort to you. Deanne? Okay, Deanne just says that just the congregation as a whole, how many people responded to her and her family during the time of Wilma's illness and passing, and just the blessing that was to her. You know, I remember the first loss in my life. The first person of importance that I lost in my life was my grandfather, and I was 5 years old. And I remember the man and woman from church who were staying with us while Mom and Dad went to the hospital, and the ones who told us that were there to put their arms around us as little kids, or me as a little kid. And I remember that night in the hospital in San Francisco when our daughter was passing away, to see the elevator door open up and to see Truman Horton and Bill Mansell walk out of that elevator and just to be there. And to be a part of that, just to put their arms around you. I doubt, if they said anything, I don't remember, and that's not what's important, but they were there. And just the way that we have all received comfort from people in times of need. And can you think of a time or of a trouble or a suffering in your own life when God's comfort overflowed the trouble and then better prepared you to be a source of comfort to people? It's a pretty personal question. I don't know if anyone in a group this size feels like addressing that or not, but I dare say some of the times when we've needed comfort... Oh, did you? Go ahead, please. Okay. Okay, just in people who... were purposeful about the way they responded to you and treated you during your time of loss. Absolutely. Yeah, they can be very important key people. Tim? That's so true. The depending how we weather the storms of our own sufferings and how we accept them and receive them and are able to process as we go on, to the degree that we can really trust those most difficult times to God and His purposes, I think to that same degree then we're capable of having that empathy and having the sensitivity we would have never had apart from our own suffering and our own hurt. In whatever area that is. We all know that. Once you've had it happen to you, whatever it is. I mean, if it's, it can be anything from, I mean, like eye surgery. Well, anytime anybody has eye problems, I want to talk to them about their eye. You know, it's just like anytime you've had something, you just feel, you it's like you want to reach out to people or have a kinship with those people. And oftentimes we can, even our worst moments, our worst times in life, God can turn as empowering experiences to be a blessing to others. One last question. Have you ever gone to comfort someone else to give them encouragement because they were in need, they were the one that was hurting, and instead come away feeling as if you were the one that was encouraged by them? I cannot tell you how often that happens. And let me just give you a real recent example. If in the last 2 weeks you went to see Lula Rampe, that may be the first day she was might not have been talking much, but I'll tell you what, anytime after that, if you went to see Lula Rampe, you came away with a life lesson, with an encouragement to want to live a holy life. Just because of the person that she is and the way that she deals with everything in her life. You go, oh boy, the poor Lula, she's sick, she's got a blood clot, oh my, and it's bad and it's serious. And you go and you sit there and it's like, you know, this godly woman just shares her heart with you and you're encouraged and you're instructed and you walk out thinking, I thought I was supposed to go make her feel better. I thought I was supposed to be so... I'm the minister coming to you, and it's like you walk away thinking, I've just been blessed. And And when you have that experience, it happens all the time in our lives as Christians. It really, really does. That's an illustration of what Paul's talking about here in 2 Corinthians 1. This cycle of comfort. The way this works. The way that troubles come in and God overflows the comfort. And then we're comforted. And then we can comfort other people. And at the same time, they're able to reciprocate and bring comfort to our lives. This dynamic of suffering and comfort and encouragement that God brings within the body of Christ. So tonight, let's just thank God, first of all, that he is present, that he is there to comfort us with his presence and his word and his promises. Thank God for the comfort that you and I have received through other people. And thank him that comfort can be experienced and passed on to others, even in proportion to the suffering that we've experienced. That the comfort always overflows the suffering and leaves a reservoir from which we're able to help other people. And determine, because we have a choice here, determine to be a channel of blessing. Determine to take the comfort that God gives you and actively be a blessing to the people that you know. This is something it's action. It isn't, this kind of comfort isn't a feeling we have for people. It's an action toward them. It's the sharing of our heart or our life with them. And just be thankful that we can participate not only as recipients of comfort, but also as channels of that blessing. Indeed, as Paul said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God." And if there's anyone here tonight who's needing the comfort of the Lord, we invite you to him while we stand and sing.